So if you were here last week, you will know that we talked about two main topics. Thank you so much. The first one was having to do with all this grumbling going on with the Israelites, and then realizing that we do our fair share of grumbling as well. And I know as soon as I got home, well, actually it was Sunday after our Chai group, and we had talked about this issue as well, about grumbling, and I was in the house maybe 2 minutes when my wife, Pat, said to me, "Are you grumbling?" And I said, maybe I shouldn't have taught this. It's going to really require me to change. But, you know, even though we don't find ourselves as people who grumble, we tend to grumble. And what happens is grumble thwarts us from God's plan, which is unity, and really when we are in unity, we get God's promised land. We get to go in. And it's when we murmur and then the second issue is that we are not depending on God. And I'd like to talk more about that this week, because last week I think we kind of scratched the surface on depending on God. And one of the things we're fairly sure of is that if the Israelites would have depended on God, they wouldn't have had to walk for 40 years. They wouldn't have had this mess of the leaders, 250 leaders being eaten up by the ground. They wouldn't have had any of these issues. So, yeah. So we're going to start with three words, which if you can remember them, if you think of the florist, you think of FTD, florist, right? Which actually I had to look up because I said, what does FTD really stand for? And it stands for Florist Trans World Delivery. Who would know? Any rate, but we don't have to worry about that. I just want you to remember faith, trust, and dependent, that we are to depend on the Lord. We are to have faith. And so I want to kind of define it from my own point of view. Not there's a right and a wrong. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying from my point of view, especially for this message, I feel that faith is the belief in God. That's, if I have faith, I believe in God. However, God calls us to more than just believe. He calls us to trust. And when we trust God, we are saying, I believe that God will do what he said he's going to do in Scripture and for my good. And that's great. And really, we are on our way to really having an amazing relationship with God when we trust God. But over the past couple weeks, I've really felt that there is another layer, and that is to depend on God. And that, to me, is an intimate relationship with God that requires me to inquire for his direction and his counsel at all times, 24/7. I really want to have that kind of a moment-by-moment relationship with God. I want God to be in my thought life all the time. I want to reflect who God is to others. He's called us to do that, to be a reflection of who he is. Well, as we look at the Israelites in today's parsha, and even the past few, I would say that it is more than likely that most of the Israelites believed in God. I believe they had faith. However, I do not believe they trusted God. And I do not believe they depended on God. and or not intentionally. but even trusting God, I don't think they trusted God. What was the problem was they got used to actually trusting Moses, and Moses trusted God. And that is a really huge mistake that people even make today. You know, sometimes they leave congregations because there is the leader has left or he's passed away or whatever, and they can't stay there anymore because that was the leader. And really, our leader is God. And I think it caused a lot of unrealistic expectations that the people had about Moses. And too often, I think we do the same thing. We depend so much on people rather than God. And as I said, in our high group this past week, we had a great discussion on trust and on dependence. And if you're not part of a group, I really would recommend it. It's a lot of fun. But at any rate, I believe that if the Israelites had trusted God, everything would have been different as we read in Scripture. I think they would have really gotten into the promised land way earlier than 40 years. But when I think of trust, the Scripture that I think of, which I've sort of alluded to already, is Romans 8:28. It says this, "Now we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose." And I believe with all my heart that I trust God. And I can't tell you that I trusted God for all my life as a believer. I can't tell you that. In fact, it is very likely for the first 20 years of me being a believer, I did not necessarily trust God. I'm not sure I even understood the concept of trusting God. But I do now, and what that has done for me, it's taken most of my worry and concerns away because I trust God. So even if I don't like what's happening, I trust God to work it out. Even if I don't like how long it is taking, I trust God to make it happen. I just feel I can count on God. That's it. It's kind of the end of the story for me. Now, dependence on God means I need him all the time. That without him, I'm not able to accomplish kingdom significance. One of the things that's interesting, especially growing up in the United States, is that we grow up to be extremely independent. That's our upbringing. And so I think making the transition to depending on God is a real stretch for us. It's something that we, first of all, we don't think about. And second of all, it's something we really don't do. Yeah, well, everybody depends on God. If all of a sudden something happens, oh, Lord, help. I'm depending on you. Yeah, well, I'm not talking about that. We all do that. I'm talking about the day-to-day, moment-to-moment, discussions and things that happen in our life. The scripture that hits me when it talks about depending on God, because there are no scriptures that says, thou shalt depend on God. There are no scriptures like that. But there is John 15:5, and I feel it alludes to that very thing. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, if you believe Scripture, then you have to wonder, what does this mean? Apart from Yeshua, I can do nothing. Wait a minute. I grew up in the United States. I've done lots of things without Yeshua. and probably God is Satan. That's the point. But seriously, Yeshua is the vine in this, and so he is the source. He is the sustenance of life for us. And we are the branches. And you know that obviously branches don't survive if they're cut off from the vine. In fact, I got some flowers this week for my wife for her birthday. And I noticed one of the stems from the flower, it was just bent. And I realized that everything else was looking really good, but this one was just dying. No matter how much water or food or anything we would give it, it just is not going to make it. And that's really us when we separate from Yeshua. The branches must receive sustenance to bear fruit. The branches are attached at all times. There is never a time where the branch becomes unattached from the vine. And yet, somehow in our lives, we are constantly unattaching, reattaching, unattaching, reattaching. And this is not what Yeshua is asking for. And if we are not attached, we die spiritually at the very least. The branch that is truly connected to the vine is secure. Now, security is really important. And we can have security for finances, and we can have emotional security. And God is saying that we will have security when we are in the vine. And even when you go through amazingly great storms, which we know about here in Florida, hurricanes and alike, but even then, the branch and the vine are so strong that they can get through storms. And that's the truth for us as well. You are going to have storms in your life. You're going to have things that go wrong, people who upset you. There are going to be all sorts of things going on. But if you are connected to Yeshua, number one, your worry is going to be a lot less. Your anxiousness is going to be a lot less. And you will be able to weather the storm without breaking. Now, here is something I want you to think about, because it is clearly an important message, and that is you can still bear fruit while you're in the storm. Every one of us probably has heard somebody say, well, when this gets better, I will start working for the Lord. That's not how it is. God wants you to bear fruit in whatever situation you are currently in. It doesn't matter what the situation is, you are able to bear fruit. Your children are able to bear fruit. If they know Yeshua, we can bear fruit. But we have to be completely dependent on the vine for nourishment, support, strength, and vitality. And really, this verse is a picture that emphasizes complete dependence and constant connection. If you keep those two things in mind, complete dependence and constant connection with Yeshua, we'll live an amazing life. Now, it also talks about in that scripture to abide. Abide means to live somewhere, but it doesn't just mean to go there and then go somewhere else. Abiding is sort of a saturation. I'm gonna be there and stay there. I'm going to be there continually. And so abide is sort of a saturation of God's presence. Now, dependence is the knowledge that survival without God's continuing presence is impossible. And one of my favorite words in Scripture is the word cling. I know that's a strange word to love, but I really love that word. And it comes from Jeremiah 13:11. There are other places where it talks about clinging. But I love this verse because, to me, this shows certainly what the nation of Israel was supposed to do as God's calling. It says, "For just as the waistband clings to a man's waist, so I will make the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah cling to me, declares Adonai, to be to me a people, a name, a praise, and a glory, but they would not obey." Now, how sad is that? I mean, there are all sorts of things that get us sad. Can you imagine how sad God gets watching us? Yes, that's where Oy Vey probably came from. God probably originated it. They would not obey. God is asking us for something that is very difficult for us, and that is to cling to him. You think of that sticky paper, you know, where you touch the sticky paper and then you try and get rid of it and just keep sticking. Well, that's how we are to be with God. We are to just stay with the Lord, not let him go. We are to cling and we are to obey. And the question, one of the questions of today is, will you obey? Dependence is abiding in the Father at all times, but it's also a mutual relationship because it says that he will abide in us and we will abide in him. So our dependency will bring him glory. And one of the things I feel that even though all of the Israelites pretty much ignored God, God still received the glory from the person he appointed, and that was Moses. So even while they were sinning and grumbling, Moses is coming to God and saying, "What do I do? Lord, help me." It isn't only that we abide in God, but he's in us. And I love the scripture in Song of Solomon 6:3. "I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Ani le dodi v'dodi li." And so we see this desire for intimacy. How do we tell people who have accepted Yeshua as their Messiah and believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, that they have just begun? That there is intimacy that is desired through trusting and dependence that will take them to places that they have never thought they would be. Anger will be gone. Anxiousness will be gone. The things that we've done so well from our youth that have been sins and negative will be gone because we are trusting and depending in God. And even when things seem awful, we're still doing it. So the beauty of seeing the entire book is Hebrews 13:5 says, "He'll never leave us or forsake us." And that's really important to know because sometimes we feel downright dirty. Sometimes we feel like we don't deserve anything. And yet, if he's called us, if he has a plan for us, he's not leaving us. He's not. So when the Lord says, "Abide in me," he's talking about your will, your choices that you make. The decisions you make day by day and moment by moment which can lead to dependence on him. But they might not. You might make all your decisions without God. But he's asking you to make all your decisions with God, with him. We must figure out and decide to expose ourselves to him and keep ourselves in constant contact with him. And that's what abiding means. We're going to bear much fruit. Fruit will happen when you abide in him. Fruit will happen when you depend on him. One of the important things is, because we're people, we look around and we say, well, how come that person has more fruit than us? The quantity and quality of the fruit may differ, but the presence of your fruit will always be there. Just be happy with God, with what God has given you. It's one thing to desire more. It's another thing to desire what somebody else has. The purpose of the branch is to bear fruit. Can you imagine planting a vine which is supposed to give you grapes, and all it gave you were green leaves? How disappointing would that be? And that's, I think, how God feels when he plants us. He wants to see fruit and fruit that remains. And certainly as a start, he wants us to love. He wants us to have joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control from Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit. Because this is truly fruit that is from God. If he's planted us and he's expecting to see fruit, this is the kind of fruit he wants to see. But the next verse from Galatians after 5:22 and 23 is a crucial, crucial scripture, and it's probably why people don't want to become believers. It says, now those who belong to Messiah have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In order to depend on God, we must crucify our flesh with our passions and our desires. Does that mean that we shouldn't care about how much money we make? No. It just means we have to have our right priorities. And our passion should be serving God. In fact, imagine if you spent time with somebody who is your life partner, and your passions were different, how difficult that would be. Well, God spends our lifetime with us, and he's expecting our passions and our desires to be his. So what are his to go along with the scripture I just read? Well, we know that Yeshua died for us, and that was his passion. So our passion, very simply said, is that we need to be available to die for him. I don't believe he wants us to die physically. That will happen anyway, one day. But he wants us to die to self. And all the things that get us upset. You know, I know, and I probably still have a little of this, that there are some things that just get me very, very anxious. Many of you won't believe this. because it obviously doesn't get you anxious, but time gets me very anxious. And when I'm late somewhere, I literally, my body begins to shake. You don't have that problem, Nance? Who would have thunk it? But seriously, over the past few years, I've really seen that that has changed. Time is still important to me, but I really don't have that same reaction to it. And I believe it's because, you know, God's going to take care of it, whatever. Just chill out. Because if I come somewhere all anxious, I'm not going to be good for anybody. So I'm just defeating the purpose of getting where I'm going if I'm going to be a crazy person. Right? I mean, you know. So if someone asked you right now, what is your passion? What would you say? Would you say football? Would you say shopping? Was that a guy who said yes? Okay, now I'm really confused. Or would you say, my passion is to die daily for Yeshua? I mean, just let's stop and think about that, because it sounds ridiculous. I mean, doesn't it, even as the words come from my lips, it sounds crazy that that would be my passion. And I'm not sure at this moment I can 100% say that is completely my passion, but I'm getting there. I'm getting to the point each morning as I come together with the Lord, and I just see what he is doing in me because I've made myself available, that he is changing me. And just because I'm the rabbi or I've been a believer over 50 years doesn't mean there's not way more to change. And so the question that we ask ourselves and where we stop and just say, what are we passionate about? Is a reasonable question to ask. So realistically, I don't think any of us are going to think about God every second of the day. Maybe some of us are good every hour of the day, or just every day. But I think that dependent, my vision of being dependent on God is, as Donna had mentioned last week to me, like a baby. You know how a baby is dependent on their parent? There is not a second that they can be without their parent when they're asleep or they can just rest peacefully. But by and large, anything of any kind of functionality requires a parent. And I believe that's the way God made us to be, even though our culture has said that's ridiculous. Think about how dependent on a moment-by-moment basis. When somebody comes to you, you know, there's always those examples. Do out of the congregation examples. But, you know, somebody, you're at a fast food place and somebody cuts you off in the line or something like that. Is your first reaction to tell them what they did, or is your first reaction to say, God, what should I do? I think we need more God, what should I do? What should I say reactions. I feel we don't have enough of those. Because if we did, we would react differently. Matthew 15:10 and 11. Yeshua called the crowd and said, "Hear and understand, it's not what goes into the mouth that makes the man unholy, but what comes out of the mouth that makes him unholy." And then Matthew 15:18, "But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those things that make the man unholy. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. These are things that make the man unholy, but to eat with unwashed hands does not make the man unholy." I think this is telling us that sometimes we are focused on man's tradition and talk about holy and unholy rather than what God wants from us. We have to have the passion of God. And if we're going to abide in him, if we're going to depend on him, we have to push away as much unholiness as possible. Now, the first thing that's mentioned in that list of unholy things is evil thoughts. And, you know, if you're thinking about evil thoughts like I want to punch somebody in the face or something like that is an evil thought, that's fine. And that obviously is an evil thought. We can agree on that. But I think evil thoughts are much more subtle than that. Evil thoughts are thoughts of not liking people. That's an evil thought. When you see somebody coming at you and say, "I really don't like them," in your mind, that's an evil thought because they're made in God's image. I think there are a lot of evil thoughts that we have and that need to be cleaned up. And then the last word in that verse on the list is slander. And in slander, you slander somebody when you say something false about them that's going to ruin their reputation or somehow cause them some sort of damage. That's slander. But in Judaism, there's something even more, the bar is much higher in Judaism. In Judaism, there's something called Lashon Hara, which is called which means the evil tongue. And what this is this kind of speech about people, whether it's true or untrue, is still forbidden. Whether it's true or untrue. In fact, in a Jewish encyclopedia, it says every kind of trafficking in evil reports or rumors, whether true or not, by carrying them from one person to another or by relating unpleasant or harmful facts about another, is forbidden. And it's based on Leviticus 19:6, which says, "You are not to go up and down as a talebearer among your people. You are not to endanger the life of your neighbor. I am Adonai." Now, if you take that in context, I really believe that endangering the life of your neighbor has to do with the tales that you tell. So, if we're talking about depending on God, the question obviously is going to be, how do I depend on God? Well, the simple answer is every time you feel an urge to do anything that could be contrary to God's word, stop and ask God for his desire, his passion. That would be, I think, difficult, but I think it's something we should keep in mind. So in other words, if you're from New York, like me, there's a certain amount of sarcasm that you've grown up with. And the question is, rather than being sarcastic, how can I encourage rather than hurt somebody? If you are about to answer in anger, remember that revenge is the Lord's. And how do I show love, grace, and forgiveness? These are things I know that's God's passion. I don't have to read about it. Don't have to ask him about it. It is. We've read it. If I want to grumble and complain, let me figure out how I'm to be part of the solution. If I'm about to worry, let me think of Matthew 6, 31 through 34, which talks about each day having trouble of its own. You know, don't go there. So when you feel overwhelmed, remember that in Matthew 18, 2 to 5, God is asking you to be like a child. Most children are not overwhelmed. I think one of the reasons they're not overwhelmed is because they depend on their parents. You know, they don't say, oh, we don't have any money. No, they say, hey, mom, dad, cough it up, right? I need some money. I'm going to get an ice cream with sprinkles and caramel. Say, oh, well, we don't have enough money. What do they do? Ah! All of a sudden, the money appears. It's amazing. Amazing thing. And actually, that is somewhat scriptural, right? I mean, God says, okay, you know, it's like the woman who kept asking and asking, and he said, okay, I'll give it to her. You know, I can't take this anymore. But, yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Perseverance is certainly helpful. But besides that, children are dependent. They are totally dependent on their parents. And so they have less to worry about, less to care about. And they're also humble. It says in the scripture, whoever then shall be humble himself like this child will be one of the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so I believe that children, for the most part, are humble as well because they are dependent. And when you are dependent, you have to be humble. You have no choice. Because if you are asking for things on a regular basis and you are being arrogant, probably the answer is going to be no. So they learn, okay, let's say this nicely. Hopefully they learn that. Finally, anything you can do to increase your time with God will help you in terms of being more dependent on God. Let me say one other thing, and it's really important, I believe. Fruit has seeds, and the seeds replicate, and it is really important for our fruit to be seen in our children. Probably one of the greatest lessons that I've learned has been from my wife, who on a number of occasions told me what I was doing wrong in terms of what I was doing and that it would affect our kids. And once I realized that it would affect our kids, that was my motivation, in a sense, to stop doing certain things. I think this is a real key to having happiness and joy because, you know, I always embarrass my kids. It's all right. They're used to it. But one of the greatest joys in my life and my wife Pat's life is our kids and who they have become. And I really believe that this is something that all of us should seek to want. And if, perchance, your kids are already grown and they don't have this kind of understanding, then we have to become extremely creative and ask God what we can do to help them. Because nobody wants really to get bad results. People want to have fruit. It gives people purpose in life to have fruit. So as we depend on God and we seek His virtues, not our own virtues, not what we think, but His virtues are His passion. And we seek His virtues, His passion, we will see God do amazing things in our life. So as we close in prayer, let's depend on God to transform us so that we will have greater faith in Him, trust in Him more, and be dependent at all times. Father, I just pray, Abba, Lord. Regardless of the hurts we feel, Lord, let us overcome those storms of life, over whatever it is that we're feeling, and let us have Your passion to die to self, that I will not lift up myself. In fact, as Your scripture says, I will care more for others than myself. Father, I pray that you will touch us, Lord, as we go into a time of worship, that whether it's the words of the songs or just the words that God is putting in your heart, I pray that each one of us will be convicted, not condemned, just convicted of how often we are not dependent on God. And I ask, Lord, that You would show us ways that we can change so we can be a reflection of Your passion. Lord, I want to be a reflection of Your passion. I pray for this. In the name of Yeshua.